It wasn't so long ago, in fact, early January this year, that I was marching alongside an estimated 20,000 Victorians demanding serious action on the climate crisis. We were all angry and upset because Australia had just witnessed the devastation of the biggest and most terrible bushfires. And we know that it was caused by climate change and government inaction. This was an example of capitalism putting profits ahead of our planet. What we are witnessing at present is another example of capitalism's failure to address people's needs, because it's placing profits ahead of our well-being, our health, even our lives. COVID-19 has highlighted the results of an underfunded public health system. Our health system often struggles to meet normal demands for healthcare, but now it is struggling to cope with a relatively new and unknown pandemic. For example, Horsham, many of you will know Horsham, a regional city in Western Victoria and a very popular tourist destination. It currently has a 6-week waiting period to see a doctor. It is running out of testing equipment fast. And consequently, there is talk of closing down the town. Federal and state governments have pledged to roll out more intensive care beds and community clinics. They have also promised to supply protective equipment for those still working, including teachers like myself. But so far, much of this has been slow to materialise. The federal government and many state governments have refused to close schools, childcare centres or TAFEs. So workers in these industries have been treated as if they are of little significance to our leaders and therefore expendable. We have not been asked what we think or how we want this threat in our workplaces to be dealt with. Sadly, our unions have been missing in action, and so workers are very angry and upset. It is clear to all that the economics are more important than people's lives. It is also clear that the neoliberal attacks on public services, on wages, working conditions, and welfare have compounded the challenge of overcoming the coronavirus. Further, the COVID-19 crisis has also shown us that it is those workers whose jobs are most undervalued by the system that we most rely upon. Workers in healthcare, retail, childcare, education, and cleaning, among others. They are the ones that are keeping us going, even under lockdown. These workforces also tend to be largely comprised of women and migrants, powerless workers, or with less powers. The International Labour Organization predicts that 25 million people worldwide will lose their jobs as a result of the virus, although this is considered a considerable underestimation. Up to 1 billion children worldwide have been affected by school closures. Hundreds of millions of migrants and refugees have no access to health infrastructure. Prisoners in overcrowded jails the world over, the homeless, and those in war zones are sitting ducks for this virus. So we need to be really serious about this. As Dr. Norman Swan, the ABC's health reporter and doctor, has said, we should view this as a war and prepare accordingly. It requires swift and unprecedented action. Based on current projections, globally, COVID-19 is likely to cause the deaths of many millions of people. The final death toll will be largely determined by the effectiveness and timeliness of the responses made by governments working closely with health professionals. We need, as societies, to rally all of society's resources and make decisions that protect all of us, especially the most vulnerable and powerless. For example, we should immediately begin a campaign of free mass testing for the virus and systematic contact tracing. We should boost funding for the public health system and nationalise public hospitals. We should shut down all schools, childcare centres and TAFEs and provide free childcare for those who require it. Some schools will have to stay open with skeleton teams who have volunteered and are adequately protected. No worker in any industry should be compelled to stay in a workplace. In fact, we need a complete lockdown of all non-essential industries. Essential industries being health and emergency services, power, food, and transport for these particular industries until a vaccination is available. We also need guaranteed paid sick leave and a minimum income for all workers to facilitate self-isolation. The key to being able to self-isolate is to have the economic means to do so when you're not getting paid work. Therefore, we also need a moratorium on rent and mortgage payments and access to welfare, Medicare, free public health and public services to everyone living in Australia. So that means we have to include asylum seekers, migrant workers on temporary visas, international students, New Zealand citizens, and tourists. And in addition, factories like Ford need to be retooled to make necessary medical supplies. The public sector should organise the distribution of food and necessities by paid, and this is really important, protected workers. Any business found to be price gouging should be subject to immediate nationalisation. Detention and remand centres should be closed, and prisons either be made safe or also closed. And that's what we as socialists would do and also what we demand. Governments around the world have been centralising the response to the pandemic and they have been declaring national emergencies. Such centralised coordination may now be urgent to confront this health crisis that we all face. But centralisation of emergency powers in capitalist states is something we all need to be very wary of. The powers they are giving themselves may well be used after the virus has been brought under control to suppress discontent, heighten surveillance, and maybe impose repressive social control, to push forward the global police state. Military and police forces are being used in countries around the world. In the United States, the National Guard has been deployed in at least 27 states, and the US Department of Justice secretly asked Congress to suspend constitutional rights. The far right will also use this crisis to further their aims, to stoke racism, divisions between workers, and support for authoritarian measures. So we, left and progressives, we need to build a broad alliance to stop anything like this being successful. Consciousness, on the other hand, to be really positive, consciousness seems to be growing worldwide on the need for grassroots solidarity and mutual aid in the face of this pandemic. There are many inspiring examples of such solidarity and also progressive work. I'll name a few. People in Canada started a huge petition to stop Justin Trudeau from handing over billions to Big Oil. They called instead for direct relief to workers, investments in social services, and an ambitious plan for a just transition to green jobs to help people recover from the COVID-19 crisis. And people also participated in a virtual art build to show solidarity with Indigenous climate defenders in Canada. Activists in the Philippines are meeting to work out their demands for a strong Green New Deal. On the Pacific island of Tokelau over the weekend, prepared food rations to assist people so that they could stay home took place. It's part of the local Inatu system, a form of sharing in a time of need. And all over, mutual aid community groups are springing up at lightning speed online to help with childcare, delivering medicines and financial support. For instance, a new COVID support network platform matches people seeking help with those nearby who are offering help. Left and progressive forces have to demonstrate alternatives to the inaction of the capitalist politicians and also to the far right, so that we can deal with this crisis on our terms and in our interests. And we have to be ready to deal with any coming upheavals so that the working class is empowered and can further our own interests. I would say that this is the construction of a society with values based on human needs rather than profit, and the needs of the environment and all the species that inhabit our planet. I'm going to stop there, but I'm happy to discuss any questions that people have. Thank you.